Well, good morning. Kids, you're dismissed for Children's Church with Donna. We've got a bunch of people traveling this week, as often happens as we enter into this holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So let's remember to keep one another in our prayers. But also remember what the holiday is really about. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas and Thanksgiving. They are both the causes for us. Well, Thanksgiving is just a giving thanks to God for His blessings, and Christmas is our remembrance of Christ coming incarnate to this earth so that we could receive the biggest blessing possible. And that is forgiveness of our sins and restoration of our broken relationship with the Father. So, do we have a set of lights that the pulpit lights seem to be out? Maybe, are they burnt out or is it just off? Okay, we could turn them on. Maybe they're just burned out. Okay. Well, we're in Isaiah. We're in chapter 11. We're going to read the first 9 verses here this morning. This is one of those passages which we can clearly see is a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Christ. So a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and the faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy. All on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you give us guidance and direction. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to see what it is you are saying to us this morning through your word. How we can better apply and understand your word and know you more today and every day. Father God, I pray for your anointing to be upon me that as I come and preach your word, I might speak in power and in truth, and the words I speak might touch the hearts and minds of each person. But Father, I pray that your name is the one lifted up and glorified. I pray that your people would be encouraged and blessed. And I pray that all will come together for the glory and honor of your namesake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kind of talked about this as being new relationships. We see some different relationships in this passage than we normally think about. Particularly here in verses 6 and 7 and 8. We have, you know, a wolf lying with a lamb, leopard lies down with the goat, the lion and the the calf and the lion and the yearling are all together. We're seeing these relationships, and they're all getting along. They're not at odds with each other. See, one of the things that we see in this fallen world, one of the things, the realities are that there is conflict, that there is death, that not everybody gets along with everybody else. But what we see here is that the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, changes that. When they have knowledge of the Lord. Now, we're not talking just intellectual knowledge. I read a story once, or I read a book and it told me about it. We're talking more of that deep knowledge that comes from an intimate personal relationship where you know somebody. As a husband and a wife know each other. Okay? This is the type of knowledge that we're talking about. It has that intellectual part, but it also has this spiritual and gut part. And it's not something that's far off, but it's close and it's personal. That's what we're seeing. And we're seeing this blessing. But where did this blessing come from? When we look at the beginning of chapter 11, we see a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. Now Jesse's going, whoa, what? I'm going to become a stump? The Jesse we're talking about here is the father of David, King David. And for him to be a stump, okay, referring to him like a tree, and now he's been cut down low. We see in just the preceding verses in chapter 10 that the Lord, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. Lebanon was known for its mighty forests, its forests of cedars. And it's talking about all the trees being cut down. But apparently that includes the trees that represent the line of Jesse, of David. Hold it, I thought God was going to protect God's people. Well, he is. By letting them hide below the ground as the roots. He's taking down the tree, those that are lofty. What we see here is one of the things that we see many times in Scripture, is that before God brings a better blessing, oftentimes there is a time of trial and tribulation and extreme difficulty that must be gone through first. We see it time and again. Peggy can go on and on about Job. She's taught that one a couple times. Sunday school, preached on it, various things. She's lived the life from time to time. We look at Job as an example. And we see what he had and then the terrible things that he went through. And then the appendix of that, he said, and God blessed him 10 times more than what he had previously. We're going, yeah, but losing all that. The point is that he went through these difficulties. And God cared for him throughout. See, God knew what he would do. And he allowed Job to suffer for his name's sake, for God's name's sake. Because ultimately it's God's name which is important, not ours. But Job stood for God. He wouldn't deny his name. And God brought the blessing. Eventually. See, that's the tough word. Eventually. Most of us want the blessing now. And if we can skip the difficult portion, I'm all for not having to go through the hard, tough stuff. But that's just not the way things are. Often to get to the very best, you must go through the very worst. And this is what we're seeing here. Israel is going to face judgment. And things are going to look really bad. But it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. God has protected enough so that from that stump, from that root, a branch may come. And that branch will bear fruit. What is the fruit? Salvation for all mankind. I call that a pretty good fruit. Pretty big, pretty juicy. Can't get any better. No more tasty than that. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to be upon him in power in a way never before seen. So much so that he will not be judging with his eyes or deciding what he hears. You know, God's not interested in what this outward persona that we do or the words that we give with our lips. So much, it's always been, what is your heart condition? That's where he's looking. That's where God is always after. What's our heart? David was reckoned as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was sinless? Because he's perfect? Absolutely not. The man screwed up time after time again. I mean, he had a man murdered so he could sleep with the guy's wife. Or he'd already slept with the guy's wife and got her pregnant. I mean, this is a man after God's own heart? No, that was not what was after God's heart. What was after God's heart was after he had committed this terrible sin and he was called on it, he repented. He did repent. He just wasn't sorry that he got caught. Okay, there's a difference. Oh, I got my hand caught in the cookie jar. I'm so sorry. Next time you're doing it again. You know, that's not what we're talking about. David was truly remorseful that he had committed the crime, the sin that he had, this crime against God and man. But he did it. But he was sorry, and he attempted to make what restitution he could. Too late. But that was his heart. And that's what God looks at. God said, you know, yeah, he's a screw up. But when he's called on it, he really wants to try. It's not about perfection. It's about really seeking after God in all things. Letting God be the one to worry about perfecting us. Okay? Now, what we see with Christ, Jesus, as I believe that this prophecy is speaking truly about Jesus and how the Holy Spirit is going to be on him with such counsel and power and knowledge and fear of the Lord. That phrase always confuses a lot of people. I thought I wasn't supposed to be subject to a spirit of fear. What's this fear of the Lord thing? It's recognizing that God is indeed almighty. Not mostly mighty, not sometimes mighty, but almighty. He is the one from whom all blessings flow. Okay? He is the source of every good gift. I should seriously fear not serving him well. I should seriously have a fear within me that somehow I might come up short and not do what it is He wants. Not because I'm afraid He's going to withhold from me or somehow slap me down because I was bad, but because of His very nature. Because He is love, but He is also justice. And quite frankly, justice isn't all it's cracked up to be. If we all got what we deserved, I don't think we'd see too many people with smiles on their faces. I know I don't want to get what I deserve. I much prefer it when I get more and better. No. God blesses me a whole lot more than I deserve. End of story. No discussion on that. And I do have fear of the Lord. Now, I had not a perfect relationship with my father, but it was a reasonably good one. And with my mother, too. And I will tell you, I had fear to this day of my mother. My father has died and has passed on a couple of years ago, but my mother's still alive, but I still fear her. What do I fear? I fear that something I might do could hurt her. Somehow cause her grief. Am I afraid my mother's going to beat me up? No. Am I afraid she's going to take away her financial support? No, she doesn't support me anymore. I'm a grown-up boy. I have my own job. God takes care of me. You're you all. And a lovely wife who makes a good salary. Who He provided for me. Okay? But God is the one blessing me. And my fear is not one of, oh no, He's going to get me, but oh no, I don't want to disappoint Him. No, I don't want to hurt Him. And I do recognize that He is the one that could speak a word and I'd be gone. So it's a combination of all these things. It's so hard to really lay it out for you of just what the fear of the Lord is until you have personally experienced it. But I want you to know it is a wondrous thing. It is a good thing. And it's something that comes from knowing God. From having that personal relationship. I fear my mother because I know her and I love her because of that knowledge. And I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want to hurt her. Now she still has the ability to cause me hurt or harm just by saying a cross word. She rarely does because she's a kind, loving woman. Is she perfect? No. Is her son perfect? Close. Okay, little exaggeration there. I get dramatic license. He delights in the fear of the Lord. When I look at this, what I've written here in my own little personal notes, I have, it says, I must do as the Lord wills. I must do. It's this personal imperative. It's not because there's an outside agency holding a gun to my head saying, do this or else. But because of the inner relationship, Jesus is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. There is no one who knows the Father better. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 9, I believe, or 8, if you have seen the Father, you've seen me. From now on, you have seen Him. You have seen me and you have seen Him. Short paraphrase. It's not exact, but that's it. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's Jesus' words. Now, Jesus has the fear of God in him. How can he be afraid of himself? Again, it's seeking not to disappoint the Father. Knowing him intimately. You can't know anybody closer than you know yourself. Now, let's not get into the whole thing about people who say, you have to go to the seminar and learn how to know yourself. You know, God truly knows himself. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Okay? That's not acquiesce or it's kind of okay, but delight. It's a good thing. It's a wondrous thing. Again, I'm not talking about this fear of getting crushed. It's something totally different. Remember, with righteousness, he's going to judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He's not going to be looking at how things appear or how things sound. But he's going to see truly and understand readily and see what is righteous and what is justice. And he will do that. It says he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips will slay the wicked. Here we're speaking of the judgment day, things that will happen on that day. We see this. And we come to know, and the world comes to know Christ as it only can as he comes again. We see that there's going to be a change in relationships. Where previously there were groups that had enmity one against another. Okay? Hey, lamb and a leopard. And you could say, well, the leopard's got nothing against the lamb. They love lamb. Lamb's not so crazy about leopard. Or the lion and the goat. Or the lion and the yearling or the calf. Or the cow with the bear. Or how about the infant playing with a cobra? These are all places, situations rife with possible tragedy for at least one of the players, where there would usually be conflict or at least fear. Instead, there's going to be peace. I'm talking about a child will lead them. Ever have a child lead large animals? Wild animals. It's not a situation you want to put a child into. But yet this is what we're seeing. See, things will change. When Christ comes again, Christ, remember, Messiah, who is indeed Jesus, comes again, there will be a change in the relationships of the whole world. The way we all interact. And those who used to have enmity one against another won't have it anymore. Well, you know what? We as the body of Christ have Christ already within us, and we already know Christ. We don't have to wait for the return to have a taste of what he's going to come and bring. We are supposed to love one another. But quite often we have groups that have enmity one against the other. Parents against children. One generation against another. One ethnic group against another ethnic group. One sports team against the other. Okay, I mean the Vikings and the Cheeseheads. See, even in that, you know, here I kind of fall into trivializing those people from Green Bay. I shouldn't do that. You know, not really. We can kind of laugh and joke maybe, but no. as Christians, we should be experiencing here on earth some of this peace that's being talked about, where the lion and lamb aren't fighting, but they're together. We should be experiencing that within the body, because we within the body already know Christ. We don't have to wait for Him to come back again to get to know Him. When He returns, everybody will know He's here. Okay? So, you know, guy shows up in the sky with, you know, millions of angels and stuff. People are going to notice, okay? Dead are going to rise up and all this, you know, it's going to be noticeable. You're not going to be questioning. See, gee, is this God coming back? You know, no, you'll know. Do we know when? No. But when it happens, trust me, you'll know. This will be the reality for the whole world in the future. But it should and can be the reality for the church as a body. It needs to be who we are. Much more often than it is. There are so many churches that have conflict within themselves, where they really are at each other with knives. If not literally. Though it has happened literally, where you've had there's been more than one fist fight in a board meeting within the church. Not within this church in the last 12 years. But before that, I'm not going to speak to. But I will tell you, I once almost got in a fist fight with one of my elders. Church when I was in church. What are we doing having that kind of relationship? It was really an amicable relationship. There was animosity there. It was not a good thing. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. Instead, we should be experiencing the blessing that is promised for the future now. Yes, we're still going to go through these trials and tribulations that are there, but yet there's a taste of it and something there that can strengthen us and encourage us until that time. Knowledge of the Lord equals knowing Him personally. If you are a Christian, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He is living in your heart through the Holy Spirit. You should know Him personally. If you don't, it's because you're not talking to Him more. Talk to Him. Pray. That's what prayer is. Talking to God. Reading His Word. Singing His praises. Doing what it is He instructs us to do. That's how we get to know Him. Spending time with Him. How did you get to know the one you love? Think of the person you love the most on this earth. And how did you get to know them? You spent time with them. This is what we need to do with our Lord. And as we do that, we can then use that within the body to experience the blessings that are there so that we can have new relationships, not ones that are full of animosity and strife, but instead love and peace and doing what is best one for another, coming alongside. Instead of there being a seeking to harm, we'll be seeking to help. And there will be hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You died for us. Father, we thank You that here in Your word today, You have laid out for us what's going to be happening. We see the prophecy of the coming Christ. We see how this is going to change the whole world. But Lord, we ask that You would change us right now. For we know the Christ. We know Jesus as our own Lord and Savior. Might these changes in relationships and the changes the way we interact with one another be lived out here in the church and with those with whom we, the church, interact with outside of the church. Lord, when I speak of the church, help us remember that it's the body, it's the people, it's not the building. But all people who know you as Lord and Savior are your church. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you that though we will face difficulties, trials, tribulations, that you have a blessing before us, one that is greater than all that we may lose. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're going to be singing the doxology.